This is Radio Ukraine International. In this broadcast,
говорить
you will hear Ukraine Kyiv. Today, a program of news and
news and Ukraine.
В ефірі вечірня інформаційно-музична програма Радіо Голос Києва Київської державної телерадіокомпанії.
Щоб здавалося слова, слова та голос більш нічого, а серце б'ється ожива, як їх почує.
Recent reports indicate that since the end of February 2010, press freedoms in Ukraine have deteriorated dramatically. In June of this year, International Media Watchdog Organization's Article 19 and International Media Support, or IMS, circulated a press release outlining the backward slide under Viktor Yanukovych, the current president of Ukraine. Yanukovych was the loser of the Orange Revolution, which 6 years ago captured the world's imagination and fueled the hopes of democratically minded Ukrainians the world over. But today, media watchdogs are alarmed at the deteriorating situation under the hand of the Orange Revolution's nemesis. In the immediate aftermath of the Orange Revolution, Ukrainian journalists enjoyed unprecedented press freedoms under then-President Viktor Yushchenko. It appeared that Ukraine was well on its way to becoming a poster child for democracy in the post-Soviet world. But however much Yushchenko understood the value of press freedom, most of his political colleagues did not. While it's understandable that corrupt politicians and oligarchs would not understand the value of press freedom, many who should have understood it did not. So while the focus is on Yanukovych today, the decline in press freedoms in Ukraine actually began long before February of this year, when Yanukovych was inaugurated as Ukraine's new president. Viktor Kovalenko, a public relations consultant and former journalist during the Orange Revolution, explains.
I can say that Viktor Yushchenko really granted the freedom of press, but the problem was, and now is, that majority of journalists here in Ukraine were not ready to continue to develop this, develop trade unions and associations, and they simply did not accept press freedom seriously. It was like, okay, now we have freedom, press freedom and a good president, so we can relax. And this relaxed attitude resulted in postponing the creation of public TV and radio. So journalists somehow stepped back after the Orange Revolution and hesitated to push President Yushchenko and even Prime Minister Tymoshenko to set up public broadcasting. That was a kind of mistake by Ukrainian journalists, as I see, to stop fighting for professional freedom further. Additionally, journalists actually do not fully see the strategic directions they could go. That's why now, when Yanukovych and his team gained power, the majority of local journalists were shocked, and me too. Now we are seeing censorship under Yanukovych rule again, and media personnel suddenly realized that freedom of press is too fragile, that the country has a critical lack of truly independent media, journalism is not actually protected, and access to public information is highly restricted. So journalists realized that all was fine in the past 5 years, mainly because of the goodwill of the good President Yushchenko. After Orange Revolution, Yushchenko stopped any orders, and I can tell you that during his term, he didn't send any orders to journalists about what to do and how to cover his activities. And that's why journalists felt that they can criticize Yushchenko openly, and sometimes they criticized Yushchenko more than enough, because they started criticize him not because of his wrongdoings or statements. He criticized his ideology and tried to play political role more than be watchdogs.
In the years after the Orange Revolution, press censorship in Ukraine gradually reemerged. But in less than a year under Yanukovych, it has escalated rapidly. Today, Ukraine's media environment now closely resembles that of the Kuchma era prior to the Orange Revolution. Ukraine is again experiencing the banning of critical reports about the government, curtailing of editorial control, and the issuing of specific instructions to include or remove certain political issues. Unlike under Kuchma, however, these press freedom violations are more subtle, at least to outside eyes. Viktor Kovalenko describes the situation.
Some PR persons from Kuchma's presidential administration, they decided to send out special orders to television companies and news services. It was hidden email orders without signatures. And in these orders, PR guys ordered to journalists that only positive news about Kuchma's administration and the present government should be broadcasted.
Oh, there was a word for that.
It was Temniki. I was a journalist on Novi TV when we received one of the first Temnik. And I asked my editor to show me this, and it was the printed email without signature and sent from public email. But everybody knew that time that this is serious. This is not some kind of joke, because our owner was very serious about this.
So do you see now, do you anticipate there might be Temniki coming from Yanukovych?
No, we have no Temniki from Yanukovych, but I imagine that some persons can call to owners and have very secret conversations and communications with the owners without letting journalists know about these activities, because they had experience in 2002. So now the technologies of ruling media became more sophisticated. They can control media owners and get the same result. This is difficult because without any proofs of censorship, it is hard for journalists to protect their rights and to show the society that they have problems.
According to several sources, including Reporters Without Borders, physical attacks and harassment of journalists and media representatives have been increasing significantly in Ukraine. Generally, police ignore these incidents or treat them with contempt. This may or may not be because in many cases the culprits are, whether overtly or covertly, government officials. On March 23rd, Vasyl Demyanyev, editor-in-chief of the newspaper Kolomeyskiy Vestnik, was attacked and severely beaten by unknown assailants. On April 8th, journalist Serhiy Andrushko of television station STB was questioning the head of the city of Kyiv's main housing department, Volodymyr Storozhenko. At one point, Storozhenko grabbed Andrushko's microphone and threw it in a garbage can. That same day, also in Kyiv, Serhiy Kutrykov of the TV station Novi Kanal, or New Channel, was covering the inauguration of an exhibition at the House of Ukraine. As he was filming an argument between a reporter and the organizers, he was expelled by members of a Berkut Police Special Forces unit. On April 12th, Boris Braginsky, a journalist of Nine Telekanal in the eastern city of Dnipropetrovsk, was attacked by an unidentified man near the TV station's building at around 7:30 p.m. He was hit in the face, thrown to the ground, and kicked repeatedly. The assailant, who appeared to have been waiting for Braginsky, made off without taking anything from him. On June 15th, Serhiy Andrushko of television station STB had another run-in with government officials in Kyiv. This time, he was assaulted by one of the president's bodyguards at the Agro 2010 exhibition. On September 17th, journalist Artyom Fermenyuk was severely beaten by police in Donetsk in eastern Ukraine. 5 days earlier, the head of the local union of professional journalists, Hennady Berezovsky, was also assaulted. None of the assailants in these cases, and many others not mentioned, have been brought to justice. Even more alarming are reports of disappearing journalists. On August 11th, a Ukrainian investigative journalist based in Kharkiv went missing and is now presumed dead. Vasyl Klementyev was known for his investigations of corruption in the Kharkiv area. His disappearance has been compared to that of Georgi Gongadze, an internet journalist murdered in 2000 for investigating corruption. Not surprisingly, these events have led to protests by journalists.
We have already significant journalistic protests against editorial censorship. In news departments of Popular 1+1 and STB television channels, 3 or 4 months ago, journalists accused editors that they suspiciously selective in topics and execute hidden orders from the owners, which are dependent from the new state authority. But journalists lost with these protests because they do not know how to effectively protect their interests. And our journalistic trade unions and associations are small, fragmented, and they do not have enough finances to give quality protection by lawyers. Moreover, journalists in Ukraine are very dependent now on the media owners, especially in this financial crisis and due to the high unemployment rate in Ukraine. This motivation can play an important role, and many journalists will think many times before going to the protest because they need to eat something.
In a country that borders on a police state, the actions of most journalists in Ukraine are ruled by their survival instincts. Also, journalists are well aware that they are largely alone in their fight and that there's little or no assistance they can rely on from the outside.
During the past 20 years, no significant international media houses came to Ukraine to show good standards in action, to motivate local media and the development of journalism. The exception was with Ronald Lauder's Central European Media Enterprises. CME owned the popular national TV channel 1+1, but sold it in 2008 to one of Ukraine's billionaires. There were several small experiments with tabloids by some European media houses, but all of those projects were closed 2 years ago due to the global financial crisis. Ukraine urgently needs this Western experience, and unfortunately, European and American media houses didn't come to Ukraine. They came to Russia, they came to Eastern Europe, they came to Baltic countries even, but not to Ukraine. I cannot explain this because maybe our legislation is not so prepared for foreigners, and maybe this is the main obstacle.
This past summer, proceedings were initiated to strip two independent TV stations of their broadcast licenses. These stations are TVI and Five Canal, or Channel 5. The two stations happen to be the ones most critical of the government. The main beneficiary of this move would be Valery Khoroshovsky, who owns a large media empire, Intermedia Group, and incidentally is also head of the SBU, Ukraine's main security agency. Reporters Without Borders has accused Khoroshovsky of a conflict of interest and has voiced other concerns about this case. With this strong-armed approach to media consolidation, Ukrainians are turning their hopes to public broadcasting.
The current presidential administration has promised to create public TV and radio instead of a state broadcasting company and is making some steps toward this. And let's see if it will be successful. Or will this be just a change in the title of the media? We have one goal, and I am, as a former journalist, I really want Ukraine to have public TV and radio because we actually need this. In our post-communistic society, in this transitional society, we urgently should have an independent voice. And this voice should be reachable in every corner of the country. It can help to develop democracy and freedoms. And I think Yanukovych is trying to be good president, and he stated that he wants to do this. Let's give them chance. He promised. Let's see.
A hopeful optimism, but in February, Media Watchdog's Article 19 and IMS urged the newly inaugurated president to respond immediately to serious shortcomings within the legislative and policy framework related to freedom of expression and press freedom in Ukraine. Instead, on April 2nd, President Yanukovych dissolved the National Commission on the Reinforcement of Freedom of Speech and Information Development. This commission consisted of Ukrainian media experts tasked with advising the president, overseeing compliance with European and international media standards, and facilitating the launch of public service broadcasting in Ukraine. So, with such a setback, it is quite amazing that Ukrainians nonetheless remain hopeful of a future with a public broadcasting service. Truly a disappointing scenario for press freedom and indeed for democracy in today's Ukraine. For 2010, Reporters Without Borders has ranked Ukraine at 131 in its ranking of press freedoms around the world, and that's where it was in 2003, a year before the Orange Revolution, and in 2004, during the Orange Revolution, it was at 139. This year, at 131st place, Ukraine is just ahead of Russia, which ranked at 140th, but far below Poland, which was in 32nd place. The highest Ukraine has reached since 2002 in Reporters Without Borders rankings was 87, and that was in 2008 under Viktor Yushchenko. We'll be keeping an eye on things in Ukraine and hope that we'll be able to report on an improving situation in the near future.